Warning, today's episode is very specifically planned to have a lot of butt stuff. Butt stuff is fun. Just get into some butt stuff and that'll bring the light of the divine into your life.
Welcome to that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of cash. We laughing, we drafting it, passion through every. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's bask in it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Okay, so I was thinking, I have like 8 ways into this conversation. So I'm like, where do I start this conversation from? One, I have this desire today. I was telling you guys off camera or off mic, like, I'm like, let's do all the records and read every record ever. And then this morning I woke up and I was like, but I also want to like pull cards for all of us. And then I want to pull from this deck. And then there's these prayers in here that I want to, I'm like, I think we're going to have a woo-woo extravaganza today.
Okay. And a 3D butt stuff extravaganza.
3D?
Well, that's what we always talk about, the 3D, like the world that we live in.
I thought you meant like we were going to do video and share it with people on the internet. It's like, here's our butt stuff in 3D.
Like an anus going straight towards the camera.
Exactly. But we had also discussed this week, me saying, I want this episode to be just as lowbrow and terrible as pop, just disgusting butt stuff, phlegm and poop. So somehow combining the highest levels of woo with the lowest levels of butt stuff, that's the dream.
That's what we do in the absence of a guest. We just start throwing everything at the wall, see if it sticks. And that is a bad image when we're talking about butt stuff. Hey-o!
or the best image.
True.
Okay, now. I had to say that piece. And then here's the like deep spiritual thing I've been actually sort of remembering, reminded of in the face of our podcast. When I messaged you guys this week and I was like, okay, about the earthquake thing, this time we're going to open the ocean's records. And then we're going to open the earth's records. And I'm going to find the right answer. And I'm going to find where the. I was like, why is that sitting so badly in my body? It has this energy like, oh. And then I realized, oh, I was in the energy of proving.
Yeah.
And I really love this topic of the energy of proving. Because proving, this has been coming up everywhere in my life, like reflected to me from the outside in. And then I went, oh, that's why you're reflecting that. Because I've been trying to prove something. So just for people listening, anytime we're in the energy of proving we're valuable, proving our spiritual shit is real, proving the Akashic records are good, proving people should still listen, proving. That is necessarily the ego. And that is not the realm of unity or the realm of love or the realm of God. And when I was like, oh, I'm trying to prove something, then the weight was lifted and I went, oh, I don't actually have anything to prove. I know what I'm doing. I believe in my work. My work works and it's 99% instead of 100. So all the parts of me can calm the fuck down that needed to prove anything to anybody about anything. And I just kind of released the need to prove. And then I felt better. So it's like for people listening, my hope is in talking about that is to sort of for you and I to start a chit chat about it and for that to illuminate whatever it can illuminate for people.
I respond very strongly to that. That I was, you know, when you suggested, you know, continuing to follow up and do this follow up stuff, I was going along with it because I kind of, you know, I mostly follow your lead for the most part.
Because you're occasionally trying to prove that you are a good friend.
Exactly. I'm trying to prove that I support you.
Yeah, exactly.
But I had a similar response, and mine is more in the realm. And no, actually, now that I think about it, is the same kind of the same thing. Mine is also in the realm of like, you know what? Let's just keep going forward. Let's not sit on that, even though there is still some bothersome people are still like wrestling with it, and that's fine. Let us continue to wrestle with it.
Yeah.
But not from the energy of, okay, if we go back. And it's also, that's kind of about that precision thing that was also bothering us of like, okay, the date and the time. And that if we're going back to the records, why are we doing it? To get the exact right answer. And it's like, is that, no, that's not,
not what we're doing. Exactly.
And for me, what has always felt the most, my alignment with the work that we do on the podcast and that you do with the records has always felt like it's more about wisdom and guidance. And that is where I seek the most, which is why when we got specific and I was trying to get wisdom and guidance about how to deal with the specificity and got really frustrated. And there wasn't actually that much wisdom and guidance to be offered based on there will be an earthquake on October 10th. Mm-hmm. They were like, yeah, you have free will. I'm like, that doesn't help me. But so that's all to say.
So wait a minute. Let's look at that though. How does that not help you?
It wasn't.
You mean it didn't give your ego what you wanted?
It gave me no new like framing or insight in terms of my, you know, I feel like often what is said is like, seems to be at least like either inspirational wisdom or even direct instructional guidance. That's not what I felt from that.
Right. But that is direct guidance.
But it's direct guidance that what do I do? I don't know. You have free will.
Yeah, but no. It's not that flip. That's a really flip read of it.
That's what I took from it.
Right. But I'm saying that's what you took from it. That's not what was given. Those are two different things. You're saying it as if that's what was given. The record keepers were flippant, said this thing that was not helpful for you. I'm just trying to reframe it as that's how it was for you. That wasn't how I heard that.
Yeah. I mean, I can only speak to how I took it because that is what I heard and what I saw.
No, there's what we, okay. That, you know, that's not.
No, that is my only experience of it though. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that is what it is in totality, but that is all my experience of it was.
I understand. And I'm trying to offer you the higher perspective that was with it that maybe you didn't receive at that time.
Right.
Would you like me to do that or not?
Sure. Yeah.
Because that is, in other words, to me, it's actually quite, I don't know, high spiritual fucking direction to tell someone when they, okay, let me do it like this. I had a client recently who was really upset with, oftentimes it's like, the last thing people want to hear is make a choice.
Right.
You have choice. People want to be told what to do. But guess what? When you tell them what to do, then they have 90 reactions to that.
Right.
So you can't win if you're trying to make them feel good in the moment. So all I'm saying about that piece of insight, there are times when like, you know, the enlightened master from Jerusalem who led the Sufi school would say to me like, oh, it not matter, you choose. And I'd be like, what? And he'd be like, sit with that for 9 days now. And I'd be like, what? And then 9 days later, I'd be like, wow, that was fucking deep. Because under my reaction, which was, tell me what I want, give me wisdom, tell me what to do. Under that is something else. For example, in that particular case, I'm trying to think of what the specific thing was that I was asking him when he said that, but I can't remember. But even as I sit with it right now, in my body, there's an energy in my low belly that's like, give me answers now. And when what comes back is, hey, you get to choose. There's a part of me that's like a child who's really confused, who wants to be told what to do. So if I can bring the divine light to that child who's confused and wants to be told what to do, suddenly the need for an answer dissipates and I'm in peace again. And then the next indicated action reveals itself. So it's actually a real offering of, you get to choose. So deal with that and what's coming up for you under dealing with that. And what I'm hearing you say is something along the lines of, you just brushed me off. That was flip. That wasn't helpful. There was nothing in there. It's like a flip, whatever. And I'm going, no. There's like, sit with yourself, bring the light to yourself. What do you choose from your deep self? You know, when you tell people to choose from their deep self, they fucking hate it. It happens all the time. But that's where the deepest healing is. Nobody has our answers.
Except for this podcast. We have all the answers, but I know what you mean. I'm being flipped, but no, I absolutely hear what you're saying.
It's a challenging teaching for some high vibe, whatever, to say to you, you've got it. We told you what we have. Now you choose.
Right.
Because that forces you to deal with yourself.
Yeah.
And a lot of people's way of dealing with themselves is to go like, no, you fucking tell me. Or no, I'm going to be mad at you for what you told me. Or,
right.
Okay, yes, ma'am, I'll do what you told, whatever.
Yeah.
All of that is your, I'm speaking in the abstract, but one's response to the person in front of them. None of it says, okay, wait a minute, I'm going to take responsibility here and go, well, what do I fucking choose?
Yeah.
I can't really like stand by the awesomeness of my own choice around any of that. I can't defend any of it. You know why? That would be the energy of proving.
Right. And that was what ended up happening. I think where my frustration came in is I was still engaging and it wasn't even necessarily for me. So this is that sort of offboarding of like, also like people reaching out to me and being like, what do I do with this energy? And if that's what I'm going to be telling them, because that's all I got from then I'm feeling frustrated because I feel like I need to either quote defend or prove there's still validity to whatever it is that was delivered.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. And maybe you tell me if this is true or not, but could there be also the energy of, or sort of like, if I don't give them an answer, they'll be frustrated with me the way I'm frustrated with Katie and the record.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely. And I definitely, you know, was kind of doing some almost like triaging of people who were like reaching out to me and going like, I feel this or that. And I'm talking to you about it because I don't want to reach out to Katie about it because, you know, for whatever reason, you know, because I need help framing it. And I was also doing some sort of verbal gymnastics of like, well, here's how I'm taking it right now and what I'm doing. I can't necessarily say one way or the other what you should do. We did get the wisdom of, you know, you have free will. And then they were frustrated by that too. And so like, yeah. And so I'm still, all this is to say, this is actually going to the original point, which was once we were in the energy of proving, nothing was satisfying.
That's a really good point, I think.
And so like, because I was in that need or energy, of course I was just gonna be like, what the fuck? No, I need a thing here, and you're giving me a thing that doesn't satisfy my ego right now within this context of doubt and proof. And so that was frustrating. And yes, and so ultimately, I think I'm coming to the same point that you started with, which is like, I'm totally in agreement that like, I really hate the energy of proof. And it's the thing that drives me away from, we've talked about in the past, like breathy energy, that it feels like they're trying to convince me that they are spiritually pure. And, you know, because I'm talking in this voice, that proves to you that I'm spiritual, you know, it's that energy. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, anyway, I think it's just, I really feel the need. I do feel, this doesn't feel like proving. It feels like this is actually important to me to understand. Like one, yeah, I got a date that was incorrect. I mean, technically, so that's just what happened.
Yeah.
I'm a human. That's what happened. And I feel for people who got all in a knot about all of it, including myself getting all in a knot about it. And what better lesson in what do you know? What's true for you? Even me in response to that. Yes, Desmond.
So I just want to speak about my experience a little bit with this whole thing, especially in response to Cassidy, because I know about myself, I hate carrying other people's weight. I have made my whole life around just doing the best with this vessel that I carry around, and other people do what they want. So I didn't say a fucking thing to anybody. My wife, my family. You know, yeah. I do this podcast, so I was very aware. And this all came to a head yesterday. I was at lunch with my wife and I hear this table across from me saying, yeah, there's this woman I know and she's got this podcast and she like fucking moved to Colorado because like the Akashic Records were like talking to her and telling her and all this stuff came true. And there was supposed to be this earthquake, but the earthquake didn't happen. And so finally I like shut my wife up because I'm like, I think they're talking about my podcast. And so I said, excuse me, are you talking about all the answers? And this happens to be some old friends of Cassidy and Katie. So they knew them before this podcast. And long story short, this is when my wife finally found out.
Because she doesn't listen to the podcast.
She doesn't listen to the podcast. I didn't tell her. I didn't want to make it. And I talked about it on the show. Like, I don't want to freak my family out for the wrong reasons. I don't want to freak my family out for the right reasons. And the one thing that did happen the week end of the 10th was my family got this wild hair out of nowhere. We never do this. They're like, I really want to go to San Francisco. Let's go to San Francisco. We'll get lunch.
Oh, yeah.
And they're talking about it. And I said, you know, and I let them go back and forth, the teenager and my wife for a while. And then finally, Kelly's like, do you want to go to San Francisco? I said, no, I do not want to go to the city this weekend. And that's never my response to anything. I'm always like, yeah, sure. Why not? Or I don't want to be the naysayer. But Kelly, I didn't have to go any further than that. She's like, wow, you're never that direct and honest. So no, we're not going to the city this weekend. And so yesterday I finally got to tell Kelly, like, by the way, remember when I didn't want to go to the city? That was this weekend. And so she just found out about Gurn Blanston and all this. And I gave her the history of.
How did she take it that you didn't, that you hadn't shared it with her?
She was fine. And I think her response would have been one of two. Holy shit, we're leaving town for the weekend. Or
bullshit.
Fuck this shit, we're going to the city. And so in just keeping it myself and just kind of lightly managing things, I just kept it in the gray. And
that's a smart move. It's like my therapist has said to me many times, she's like, I'll throw an idea at her of like, well, I feel like maybe I'll say this to this person. And she'll be like, you could say that to that person, but then you might make yourself a scapegoat or a mark, or like a, people might be real mad at you. And I'm like, well, to me, that doesn't seem like a reason not to do a thing. I'm not going to not do it because people might have feelings. That seems insane to me. But at the same time, you know, lessons like this are like, interesting. Perhaps certain levels of that aren't worth it. The other thing is like, you know, it's just sort of like, I don't even want to. I'm glad she wasn't upset. I'm glad you didn't have to carry anyone's burdens, Desmond. I feel for people that got really triggered by this. I'm sorry that it was triggering. And I'm sorry that I'm imperfect and I got a thing wrong. I have a healer that I work with who said one time, she was like, she was kind of just blowing off steam in the middle of a session. And she goes, nah, nobody ever likes to believe the psychic. And you get one thing wrong and then they write you off forever. And I was like, and we bonded over that, about how like 98% of everything I do for people helps them and they can't believe, how did I know, and all that shit. And then something like this happens and you do lose people. And it's understandable that you would lose people. I understand. It's all fucking intangible and I'm claiming I can hear stuff. And then you get an example like this and that's a great reason to just give up, run, judge it, separate, make it wrong. And so knowing that, that's what put me into my reactive kind of like, well, I have to prove that I'm, and I realized I don't have to prove it. I'm fallible. It's not perfect. I'm really sorry that it fucked with some people's heads and hearts. And that was never my intention. And all of those things are true at the same time. And it's a bummer. And it does make me think about like, A, being more careful in how I read certain big ass questions like that. And B, timelines in general are always messy. Psychic people, spiritual people talk about this all the time. It's like a very common topic that timelines are the hardest thing to nail down because of free will and because of change and everything changes all the time. And three, like, maybe there's certain stuff that I just wait to say. Well, the other part that's hard about all of it is how much of it already happened. And by the way, that stuff that's already happened that like I was getting was October, November, happened in August, September. Like all the shit went down early anyway. So like, I don't, time and timeline, I'm not super cozy with it. And I'm going to be more, I'm going to say things like ish from now on and not like
right.
Definitely and whatever. But again, it's like, I can no longer engage with the whole defending anything thing. So people will listen or they won't, and people will come or they don't. And I just keep following. But I did message you guys. I think, Cassidy, I was talking to you about, I needed a bunch of things to happen after all of that to assuage my own doubt. I was like, well, fuck, is all of this horseshit? And I had a therapy session about it. And then I, you know, worked with 1800 clients since then, and all this magic has happened. And then I felt better.
Yeah.
So I could imagine the people listening to the podcast who don't feel better, haven't had 1800 clients in the energy field to make them feel better. They're like, bitch, you know, some people are going to feel that way and be in separation about it. And I understand there's nothing I can do about that except just keep going. And we see what we have to offer in other realms.
I was really hoping we were going to talk about butt stuff today, but we have not yet.
Can we talk about it now?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, good. Here's a terrible transition. Recently.
I took a shit that was enormous.
But in other news, when I moved here, I have this, like, I don't know what you call it. It sits at the foot of the bed. It's like a shelfy thing that you can sit on. It's like a bench, but you can open the bench and put stuff in it. And I put my socks and underwear and bras and bathing suits and butt stuff in there. Like, and the dildos, the lady stuff and the condoms. So, but then I got busy with life and I forgot, usually like the butt stuff, we're going to call it the butt stuff just for fun. In its own like
fashion. It's more all purpose than that, but.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more okay. Vaginal stuff and clitoral stuff.
Okay.
Anyway, I usually put that stuff in a basket that goes on a shelf and it's separate from the underwear and the bras of my life. But now so much time has gone by that like I'll be picking through the bench for like warm socks and I got a butt plug in my hand. Or I'll be like reaching for a bra and there's three condoms I pull out because it's all just mixed in there. So that happened.
I'm sure there's a spiritual metaphor in there somewhere.
That boundaries are important. I don't know.
Or not. Maybe it's great to have a salad.
Oh, what kind of salad?
A tossed salad.
What happened, Ben?
Socks, underwear, dildo, butt plug, and condom salad.
Yeah, by the way, none of those things have been used in so long. They're sitting there just sadly begging for attention. They're just like, can you activate me at all? And I'm like, no. I got a hand.
All right. So your tool usage is lower than it has been in the past.
Yeah. And my like interaction with other humans' body parts.
Oh yeah. Forget about that. I even went through a period of so my parents listen to this podcast. Sorry. Warning that just, you know, fast forward through the next 3 minutes, maybe. Yeah. But like, I went through a period of really having like a much lower libido than I have in a really long time. And it was actually kind of a relief, to be honest. Like having that, it wasn't like a zero libido, but it was just like, I didn't have the need or desire. So like to masturbate or any of those things, like I did it a lot less for quite a while through quarantine. And it's ticked up again a little bit. I'm a little more engaged with my body because why not? You know, it's fucking something to do. But like
why
that
not?
Sort of more like energy of need or drive has just really shifted. And I don't know if that's a response to the change in lifestyle that the downshift required. I don't know.
Interesting. Does it feel connected to depression-y stuff?
No, it doesn't actually. Because I honestly...
You want to ask questions? Let's ask questions. Let's see what you get as a yes and a no.
Oh, you mean like check with myself or you ask the questions?
I'm going to ask you questions and you tell me what you get and I'll tell you what I get and we'll have fun.
Okay, go.
All right. Is it actually like a deepening of your spiritual connection that has thereby diminished the ways that impulse was compulsively functioning so that now it's actually functioning in a more balanced way?
I get a little yes on that.
Okay. I get a big yes on that.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
So somewhere in the middle, there might be truth.
Yeah.
Are you dead inside?
No.
Damn it.
What do you get?
No,
no. No, of course not.
That that was a joke question. Are you a eunuch now?
Not quite.
Okay. Was it about like a deepening into your emotional reality that then made the need for the release that the orgasm was giving you less necessary because you were having emotional release?
100%. 100%. I get a big on that one. Absolutely. I think it has to do, you know, it has to do with my relationship to myself and my relationship to others. Like just with masturbation and like release and the, a little more, when it was a little more manically engaged, that's out of a, that's more out of desperation. Like I need to feel something. I need to get rid of this feeling. I need to, I'm frustrated. I'm angry. But I'm not engaging with the underlying feelings around it.
Yeah, I get that.
And so, you know, it's a temporary release. Now on the other side of that, to be honest, when I start to feel a little obsessive sexually in my head, thinking about another person or being like, God, I should contact that person and get something going. Or if I masturbate and release, that just goes away.
Huh.
Like that need to like, oh, I should reach out to that ex lover or whatever.
Yeah.
That just, so that tells me that it is mostly about just a physical intensity that's happening fleetingly. But like if I don't, then I'll stay in that space. Yeah. I need to get off.
Yeah. But you don't need to call Janine. You just need to fucking spray somewhere.
That's the name of my cousin. So let's choose a different name.
I hear she's pretty attractive. Okay.
You always do this to me. I think we talked about my aunt's breasts. I think we did. Yeah. I'm just like, nope.
Oh, no.
That's
terrible.
I have to butt back in because we've got two T's because we've got the single person, the semi-single person. And so now it's time for the married family person. Man.
Great.
To chime in. So my life has gotten much more complicated with the kids. And now even with quarantine, I am so opportunistic about my masturbation.
I love it.
That was me snapping.
There's no will. There's no want. There's no lust. It's no one's around for 5 minutes. Hit the deck.
Bless you, child. That's beautiful.
Clean it before it gets dirty.
Right.
Oh, that's so funny. I love that so much. It's all about perspective.
Yeah, times of like where you're like, okay, from 10:30 to 11:15, I can go to the store. At 11:15, I have a call. That'll be done at 11:45. My housemates will be home at noon. Well, that's fine. I have my own room, but like, or whatever. And then, okay, so 11:45 to noon. I guess that's when I'm going to get horny.
That's funny.
Get in the mood, buddy. This is happening.
This is your window. I don't know why, but that is making me think about, I am lately obsessed with America's Got Talent, the television program. Uh-huh. And the television program.
I can't
wait
to see the connection here.
I'll help you. I'll handhold you there. Also the show, The Voice, like I'm like obsessed right now. And one of the things that happened recently is I was watching episodes of America's Got Talent that had all the audience in the room. And then there was suddenly an episode where they were like, oh, and they have no people behind them. So it's like a 3,000 seat house with no humans in it. So these poor people come on this television show and there's like no reaction in the room to the shit they're doing. That's like amazing stuff. Anyway, I was thinking about how there are some more and more on that show I've been watching that like stand-up comedians come on it. They didn't used to as much. There's like more stand-up comics on there. And it's been interesting like watching like anyone who gets a laugh, any comedian that comes on that isn't terrible and who gets a laugh, they're like, yes, you're going to the next round. You are a talented comedian. You, sir. And there's like eight of them and they're all funny because they're fucking comedians. And I'm like very confused by that phenomenon. It's almost like the panel of judges like forgot that they've ever seen any comedian perform before and that comedians who do comedy are generally funny.
So they're shocked by, oh my God, you're funny.
Like any funny comedian gets moved to the next round. And I'm a little like, maybe this is just because they're adjusting to having comedians on the show and I don't know what to make of it. But stuff and comedy, I feel like they go together.
Right. Is this because you like to perform sexually in front of other people? Is that what the parallel here is?
That is not the parallel, though there may be truth in that statement.
And that there's not other people involved, so you're not as interested in doing it.
You know what? I just got what the connection was, is that laying in bed late at night, I'm not masturbating. I'm watching AGT.
Oh, that's ticking the same box.
Or it's either ticking the same box or I'm just checking out and being like, I can't even deal with the emotional intensity of coming. I'm just going to watch TV and watch other people have dreams and live their lives.
If you're watching TV, you're not ticking your box.
I think that's right. I think there's something right in that. And it brings me back to something you said a minute ago about when you're talking about masturbation. And I'm sort of like, I think my version of that in a sort of a related way is to do with food. Like I have a thing where instead of processing my emotions just in the moment, I'll just like eat a pancake. And then after eating the pancake, I'll be like, oh, actually I was sad. Or, oh, I was trying to celebrate and just be happy. But instead of that, I had a pancake. Or yeah. So like, you know what I mean? Like sometimes I use food as an expression of something. And other times I use food as a suppression of something. And I've been working, right? And that's
Totally. Same with sex, like with masturbation. Let's go back to that because that's what we're talking about today. Is sometimes I have to get it out of the way so I can see my emotions. Sometimes it's a way of avoiding my emotions.
Right.
But, you know, who knows what the difference is sometimes. But like sometimes it's just like, okay, I'm distracted. So I need to get this distraction, take care of it. And now I can look at truth. I also find that, I mean, just very simply, if I'm busy all day doing shit, because I've got shit to do, I don't miss my masturbation session. I don't go like, oh, I didn't do that today. I don't need it. I didn't. It wasn't needed because I was busy.
Right.
It's not like I have to have it.
Okay. That makes me think of, I have two things for you on that one. One, I was listening to, guess what I was listening to?
What's it called?
Armchair Expert. He had Matthew McConaughey on, which was fucking great. Yeah.
Desmond loved it.
So good.
I cannot recommend it highly enough. So Matthew McConaughey just wrote a book and he's got all these fantastic stories from his childhood and his life. He has an insane upbringing and he's a great storyteller and it's a lot of fun. But one of the things he talked about is his family, his mom and dad in his childhood would legitimately have sometimes like physical fist fights with each other in the kitchen where someone would pull out a knife and they're going to murder each other and they're swiping the knife and somebody breaks a ketchup bottle and they're fucking trying to actually stab the other person with it. And then the fight happens. And then they're both heaving on the table and then they are magnetized to each other and they are making love on the kitchen floor. And if you were a kid in that family, you were like, oh, this is the sex part. We got to go. And they would just like leave the kitchen. So A, I just think it's a great story. B, that sounds horrifying and confusing as a child. C, I'm like, I want to know, like, I think I'm a little bit, to be honest with you, I'm a little envious of that kind of relationship. I've always been doing so much goddamn work, not really Desmond, but a little bit, because I've been doing all this work to be like healthy and communicative and sometimes people just like live from their instincts and they just like fuck and then they fight. And you know, people talk about like makeup sex, like you have a fight and then you make up with sex. I'm like, I'm always so fucking healthy about communication. I'm never having makeup sex.
Right.
Because I'm always like, let's just work it out in an adult, healthy, communicative, kind and generous way. And then I'm like, I am missing all of this makeup sex. Do you ever, what's your experience with that?
I never fight. I've never been a person who fought with their
partner,
loved one. Like there's never, like I can almost say never.
Wow.
Have I gotten in a full like yelling match. I've had arguments, but I've never gotten into with a person.
Okay.
That I was.
I hear you. Yeah. No, well, we're useless on this topic then, but I'll even go this far as to say like my beloved, wonderful ex-boyfriend and who's a wonderful human man who I just adore and miss and wish we could be friends, but he's not ready to be friends with. And it makes me sad. That guy, he and I, when we would fight, it was awful. We both hated it. We hated fighting with each other. And then the closest we got was like, I figured out for myself through human design that if I just got out of his energy field when we were fighting, like if I go 15 feet away from him for like 20 minutes, I'm not mad anymore. And it all comes back into perspective. And I go, that was silly. I was being like this and we're fine, you know, and I'm fine. But it never ended in like, let's fuck now, ever. And I'm so like confused. And I'm like, what is that life experience like? It feels like an experience I'll just never get to have. Have you had it, Desmond? Make up sex?
No.
God damn it.
No, I'm like Cassidy. Like, yeah, I know you hear people a lot have those relationships where that's kind of part of the passion is getting worked up from arguing and then having that roll into other stuff. And I've just never understood that kind of dynamic at all. And yeah,
I think
so
there's
sorry.
Definitely some family patterning in that. Like I remember I had a girlfriend who she said once, oh yeah, if there's not yelling, there's not love. Like, and she knew that that was a perspective that she had, that was not necessarily healthy, but she was like, oh yeah, if I'm not fighting with you, then we're not, then you must not care. We must not be in love. And that's straight parental, like that's straight family dynamic.
Total families, right. Totally.
Yeah.
My thing was like, in my childhood, fighting always happened from my perspective. It always happened from one individual who shall remain unnamed that wasn't me or my dad. Getting so irrationally angry about something that even when I was like five, I could say to, in my mind, I would be like, that actually makes no sense that she's mad at him for that. And now she's yelling at him and attacking him for 20 minutes. This is not right. Like I knew from the moment I was awake with eyeballs that the way my mom had a tendency to freak out was really not based in reality, but it was also really terrifying to me and to my dad. The guy would just like, it just didn't work. Like it was scary stuff. And every time there was ever fighting in my house, it was always because she had like a big, I now understand like borderline personality / sociopathic response to life. So to me, when fighting is happening, I'm just like doing everything in my body not to shut down completely and just leave the room.
Yes.
I'm just like, I'm afraid I have to. So I've learned all these tools for how to like do it better and say words that are, and but even while I'm doing that stuff, I don't feel good or safe. I feel terrified.
Yeah.
But I'm doing the correct arguing behavior because I'm trying to like, frankly, probably just trying to manage it because it's so scary to me.
Yeah. That's so funny because like I have the opposite experience, but it leads to the same conclusion.
Huh.
Like, I don't, because I had no experience of managing anger and fighting, I don't have the tools with which to cope with anger and fighting.
I see.
So I have the same response. I just want to shut down and get away. I cannot deal with it, with conflict.
Right, right.
And it's from the opposite end, but the result kind of, so there's, and that, my second point on that is that like, I'm thinking about balance as a really key point in here, the yin and yang of things. Like I have done better in relationships and frankly, even been more, felt more sexually involved or sexually engaged when I have found my voice and my pushback.
Yeah.
When I have found the ability to at least say no, or, hey, I want to say something about that. Even if it's not a knockdown, drag out fight, but like,
yeah.
And inevitably my partner's like, you're so much hotter now. You're so much more interesting to me.
Yeah,
because you fought me.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
So it's like, there is a balance in there. It's like you, that energy of like, you know, fight with a knife and then fuck on the floor. That's the insane version.
The
but then the super peaceful, like always energy of, you know.
Well, it's called conflict avoidant.
Yeah. And that's a super turnoff.
Yeah.
For most people.
Yeah.
Including oneself. You were like, oh, why am I disengaged with you? Because I was disengaged with you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For realsies. It's always, to me, every single time I have to confront is sort of the wrong word, but like bring up anything I'm struggling with in any dynamic, like you and I have gotten, I think, really good at it in our friendship. I feel like at least because we've practiced it. We've done it a few times.
Yeah.
And to me, I feel safe bringing stuff up with you because I have history now with you that like we're both going to be kind to each other and try to get our needs met, but be kind and be clear and be kind. And like to me, if I feel like that's present, I can do it, even though it still feels so uncomfortable.
Right.
But I want to say that for people listening that, like, I have clients sometimes say to me, but how do I get comfortable with blah, blah, blah? And I'll say, I am not comfortable doing 60% of the stuff I do. I mean, I made that number up, but like, to make a point, you know, I like show up for a lot of things in life I'm not comfortable with because it works better when I show up
right.
that way. Not because I feel good doing it, but because I feel good after having done it.
There it is.
Right?
Knowing, like, knowing that it's important enough to do, you force yourself into the discomfort. It's the same thing as feel your feelings. Like, you got to walk into, you've got to put your foot in the cold water.
Yeah.
You can't just dip your toe continuously because then you'll never get through it.
God, that's a great metaphor because yesterday, one of my dearest friends in the world bought a cold pool. She has like a hot tub and a cold pool. And she lives in a cold part of the world. Bought this cold pool, put it outside and messaged me and was like, I don't, this really seemed like a good idea. But then, and she was like, I don't know, maybe not. But then she got in it and got out of it and was like, that was the best thing I've ever done. The cold pools are the best. Anyway, and I was so impressed with her because I have such, it's a perfect metaphor you use because I have such a hard time with cold water.
Me like too.
Right?
Hate it. But jumping in is way better than stepping in.
Is it? Is it?
It is what after you do it. You're always like, why did I waste so much time wading slowly into this until it touched my testicles? Like, why did because if I just walked in, it's dread as a prevention. You still have to do the thing. So if you walk super slow into it, you're suffering for 20 minutes.
Instead of
just going rakaka.
You know what's funny? I would argue for rakaka almost every time in life. Except for with that, because here's what I've found, and I'm totally 100% just rationalizing right now because it's not real. But what I found is like, I can't do it. Like, I won't jump in. I just will never, I'll just be like, cool, I'll just hang out over here. I'll drink this tequila. You guys do the swimming. I'm good. But if you give me 45 minutes, I will very slowly meet you in the middle of that pool. I will do it because I found that with that thing, I have to be really gentle with myself and really compassionate with myself because I just fucking will not do it otherwise. So, I mean, maybe everybody has their things they have to be slow with.
Yeah. So sometimes spiritual metaphors in physical world don't totally carry through as perfect.
Or they do in the moments they do. And right. then they don't in the moments they don't. I mean,
right.
everything is true and it's opposite.
Boop, boop, boop.
I mean, truly, that's like a Buddhist thing. But yeah. like, I really do find that to be true that paradox is happening every single millisecond. So it's true that if you jump in and it's faster, pain over faster. And it's also true that if you're compassionate with yourself and move slowly and handle the thing gets handled.
Yeah.
It just depends on the person and the situation and the moment. So we can't generalize, but we can learn spiritual truths that are kind of often applicable to lots of humans.
It's same as everything here. We're talking and we're sharing ideas and wisdom, and some of it is going to be amazing and helpful and useful. Some of it might not sound like it's amazing and helpful and useful until later. Some of it will actually just be butt stuff.
And some of the butt stuff will apply to some of the people in certain circumstances and not to other of the people in the same circumstances.
And somebody, one, at least one of our listeners of this particular episode is going to take some very deep spiritual truth from something that's just total butt stuff. They're going to like have a revelation right. of the highest vibration.
Right.
Because we talked about sticking a dildo in your butt.
Now, speaking of dildos in your butt.
Yeah.
Fair point you just made. On the same
Mom,
episode.
Mom, Dad, warning. Fast forward.
On the same episode of Armchair Expert, Dax Shepard said, he who goes, when he was in like second grade, they used to say, this is racist, by the way. This is straight racist.
Oh, okay.
Should I frame it?
Where it's like he go pee pee in his pants or something?
No, it's like he who go to bed with itchy butthole, wake up with stinky finger.
I don't know if it's racist because it's not specific to, it's just broken English, but we don't know what broken English.
Say it instead of saying it like again, racism, an Indian chief. Say it like a woo-woo spiritual healer.
Okay, namaste, brothers and sisters. Today's teaching from the depths of my heart, transmitted from the fourth realm of the etheric body, is that when one chooses from one's sovereign alignment to attend to one's sleep habits with an anus that is itchy, in the morning, the likelihood of attending to your three-dimensional reality with a finger that does not smell of feces is low. Namaste.
Namaste.
Thank you.
Oh, that was good. That's pretty good. You could also just say, if you go to bed with a stinky butthole, an itchy butthole, you wake up with a stinky finger.
Right. Maybe just wisdom. It's just wisdom. It's not racist wisdom. It's just wisdom.
Simple. You just got to, it is in the phrasing though. Cause yeah, when we were kids, we had a lot of like
wampum jokes.
Indian or Chinese energy things that were just like, holy shit. What the fuck?
God, right. Speaking of which, I adore the television program Friends, but man, have you watched the 90s comedies at all lately?
That shit
is like gay joke, gay joke, gay joke, woman joke, gay joke, gay joke, gay joke, woman joke. And it's like,
yep,
you would get nowhere near that today.
Well, you still do sometimes, but it's, yeah. But yeah, the framework, and we look at it, we go, what the, oh my, what?
Where is it still happening?
I don't know. No, you know what? Now there's still gay joke and there's still fat joke.
Right.
And they're more subtle. And sometimes it's couched within this place of like, oh no, we're totally aware. But then you're like, nah, that was just I think there's still a level of like gay panic joke, which is the no homo bro energy of like a joke in which a guy is in a context and then goes like, no, I'm not, I think that still exists in a lot of sitcoms.
Of a show where I've seen anything like that in recent times.
Yeah, I don't know if I have a specific example, like maybe, but you're right about Friends and all the other. Yeah. And fat jokes are still really rampant.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. I think they are.
It's the last because it's not about a race or a particular, like anyone can be overweight. And so people lean on it hard.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, that's another thing I'm loving about America's Got Talent. Like, okay, I read last night, this was the Google search I did after watching the episode I watched. When did Simon Cowell become nice? Because Simon Cowell is the nicest freaking guy now.
Interesting.
He's like supportive and loving. And there were like 90 articles on that search topic because everybody's going, when did Simon Cowell come now? And he claims, he's like, I became a father and it softened me. I realized like, holy shit, these are humans. And like this kid he's the light of my life and my heart softened. And now I'm like, how am I going to break people's dreams? And we got to encourage things in people. He's like a different guy.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. I will admit to having watched that show, like clips from that show, and tearing up multiple times. And I'm a little embarrassed about it sometimes. I'm like, oh my God, I just got so manipulated into that.
No, but is it manipulation? Because look, these people, well, it is, because the way they do the backstories and they do I came from a tiny village and my father died and we have no money there and we eat cow dung for dinner.
Right.
But then I can sing and I win the contest. That's manipulative, but it's also true.
Right.
They did come from the cow dung and then they sing and you are amazed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think it's lovely. I love laying there and just being like, oh, she hits a high note. I love it.
I have total tangent, just jumping off of that, getting teared up by things that I'm like, why is that the thing that makes me tear up? Like I'll watch a truly emotional movie and sometimes it'll work on me and sometimes it won't. Right. But then I'll be watching, like I watched this, I don't know, it's like a CBS show called Scorpion. It's just a group of geniuses who solve things and save the world a bunch of times. And they literally are a group of geniuses. And one of the sort of through lines is that they all have low emotional intelligence, right? Their EQ is very low. And so they have this woman who was a a waitress in a diner that they met, but she's actually really emotionally tuned in. And she kind of becomes their sort of office manager slash teach you emotional. How to be emotional, how to connect to people. And almost every episode, and it's just, you know, kind of a cheesy action, like they're, oh, we're solving the thing. I will fucking tear up somewhere in the episode because one of these emotionally dead people has a connection,
yeah,
a heart-opening connection beat.
Yeah.
And I realize it's because it's sort of reflective of my own journey and path,
right,
that I have been on. But like, it's, I don't know, I'll watch, you know, something that's supposed to be, that's about emotions and power and, you know, a walk in the clouds or some shit like that. And I'll just be like, bleh. But I'll watch this stupid CBS action series and totally tear up.
I think that makes total sense, though.
Yeah.
Because one of them is actually manipulative. Like, here's how you should feel now. And one of them is like humans who couldn't feel organically actually feeling.
Right.
That is moving. Don't you think?
Yeah, yeah. I do.
I think it's sweet. It's nice.
It's nice.
You said something that made me think of butt stuff when you were just talking.
Oh,
there.
Good. We've got to get back to butt
stuff. I know. And I forgot what it was. What did you say? I don't remember. But oh. Totally different thing from 75 years ago in this conversation. Minutes, hours, whatever. When we were talking about masturbation and you were talking about sometimes it's just in the way and you got to kind of spray it out and then you can... That's a terrible way to say it, isn't it?
Just say, knock it out.
I have to admit, I got that one from Dax Shepard too. He's like, sometimes you just got to spray. And I'm like, oh God, it's a terrible image. Like,
that's a mess.
How much jizz do you have every time you, is it spraying? I mean, that's a lot. It's fucking spraying. Anyway, okay, I want to tell you about psychic lady sexy time, masturbatory, weird things that happen to psychic ladies, because it's a specific thing. So,
are you having sex with demons, Katie?
Well, that's just normal stuff. No, I'm not. although I have.
Okay.
That we should talk about.
Put a pin in that one.
Put a pin in that. Come right around back to that. Okay. I had this phenomenon occur a lot of times back in the days when I would attract a lot of toxic men. I had all this toxic energy in my own body and I would attract that same thing back to me. Or I was just repeating the pattern of like, my parents were emotionally unavailable. So then I wanted emotionally unavailable men. I was working through all of that in my late 20s and stuff. And I had this thing that kept occurring that I talked to a therapist about and she explained it to me and it completely changed my life. And I'm going to tell you the what it was then and what it is now. So back then I sort of would have this experience where I would realize if I just think about, let's say his name is Jacob. And let's say Jacob is a toxic, toxic man who I'm like having sex with, or I'm in some kind of relational dynamic with, or I'm obsessed with him in a kind of love addicted way. If I lay in my bed and just really conjure the energy of Jacob in my mind and like masturbate thinking about him or just think about him a lot, I could make him call me. No joke. And I did it all the time. I'd be like, I would kind of like, it's almost like I would get into this space. Okay, let me put it like this. I didn't know how it worked back then. This therapist told me, and then I started to play with it consciously. And now I fully understand the whole thing. So at the time, the way it would feel to me is I would imagine they were in the room and feel that vibe that existed between us. And then while feeling that vibe, the phone would fucking ring and it would be them. Even if we hadn't talked in weeks or days or months, I was like conjuring them. And I wanted to conjure them. Like I wanted to be in the chaotic, sticky, thick mud of our weird, toxic dynamic, because it was an addiction that I was really, you know, owned by at the time. So this therapist said to me, you know, Katie, psychic, this is just like a therapist, right? Not a Katie Rubin type, whatever, wizardy lady, although she was clearly wizardy. She said, you know, Katie, people have actual psychic connections. And so if you tap psychically into someone else, they're going to feel you, particularly you, you're strong. And if there are these other forces at play, the forces themselves wanting to interact with one another, it's almost like you can't make a magnet not stick to another magnet. They're going to call you. Then I went to Sufi school, and in Sufi school, they taught me about how, so in the Sufi framework, they call them the jinn. I think it's spelled D-J-I-N-N.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's spelled J-I-N-N. They would say, if you have like a weird chemistry with someone where you can't stop thinking about them and they can't stop thinking about you, but you don't actually like each other, or like, you know, they're wrong for you, but you can't not. Oftentimes that is my jinn that I have, that I'm carrying with me, talking to their jinn, and the two of them want to get together. So I learned that there, and I was like, man, that's what that fucking is. You can just like get in touch with the jinn, use their dark energy, magnetize that to the other person's dark energy, and pow, that fucker will call your ass. Called dark magic by a lot of people. To me, it's just intentionality. You drop into some icky shit and more icky shit will come. Then I go to the next layer of healing trainings I learned, access consciousness, and they label it demons and entities. Entities are kind of different, but demons or demonic energies are dark energies that you don't want in your body. And if your demons are talking to my demons and they want to hang out with each other, we both need to be aware of that shit. Otherwise, we're going to start boning and not understand why we like don't even like each other, but we have to fuck.
Right.
Now, you could argue with all of that. You could think that's all cuckoo bananas. For me, nothing worked to stop the love addiction cycle except spiritually working with the jinn, the demons, and the dark energies. I brought divine light to the places in me that were so injured and traumatized and toxified by my abusers that those places had attracted jinn and demons to them. By the way, that's how that works. When you have a wound or a big, big trauma piece that isn't healed yet, dark energies are pulled right on in and on top of and into the middle of that shit. Like the metaphor I always use is if you like cut your arm open with a knife and then never did anything to the wound, dirt would get in there and dust would get in there and then it gets infected. Like if you just left a wound there and never put any Neosporin in or washed it or whatever, never put a Band-Aid, it's not a good idea because it attracts dirt and dust and gross things. And then you have an infection and now you have a second problem. You have the wound and now you have the infection.
Right.
Similarly, with internal emotional trauma or wounding, when it's not healed or transmuted or when the light isn't brought to it, it festers and attracts to it the dust, metaphorically speaking, of demonic energies and or jinn and or whatever you want to call it, darkness, more pain, whatever, such that oftentimes in healing sessions with people, the first three sessions can sometimes be, and it depends on the individual, it can be 10 sessions, it could be one session, are clearing all the jinn and the darkness and the shaitanic energy and the demons and the entities off the top of the wound. And that'll feel really intense for people. They'll be like, oh my God, it was amazing, but I'm still sad all the time. And I go, yeah, we haven't even gotten to the wound yet. I'm just clearing the stuff that's sitting on top of it. There's so much stuff there. I have to get through that. Then there comes this day where we get to the wound, and bringing light to the actual wound is a whole different thing. That is a very different process. That's about nurturing and loving a place that didn't get, that got broken inside, and bringing divine love to that place. And that has a whole different kind of dynamic with God. So my point being, long-winded way of saying, I healed sex and love addiction tendencies in me by bringing divine light to all the deep, deep wounds in myself and the shaitanic entity and demonic energies on top of those wounds that were making my choices for me. And so often people are not willing to believe that idea because they want to, they can only believe that they themselves are the wrong and bad one. I'm fucked up. I'm addicted to sex and love. And it's like, maybe. And there may be energies that are really contributing to this dynamic that all those years in therapy have done nothing for, because there literally is no solution to them except to bring divine light to them to remove them.
Mm.
Now, not every time. Some people have a sex and love addiction pattern that's like, no, it's just a simple, like, you have a pattern and it started somewhere and you deal with the emotions under that and then you stop doing it. Sometimes that's what happens. But some of us, particularly if you have like real icky trauma and become a lady who likes to talk about butt stuff on their podcast, you're going to have more than just the trauma and the wound to deal with. You're going to have some energies on top of that shit that have to go.
Yeah.
Desmond's going to talk.
I just had to ask, does it ever, because you were talking about demons and jinns needing to get together and interact, is there a positive version of this where two beams of light are drawn to each other in weird ways and psychic ways and
yeah.
and may end in the making of love.
Well, here's how I would frame. Yeah, I mean, short answer, kind of yes, but it would be more like this. Light beings, right? Any kind of being of light is never going to infiltrate a human's body and take over their decision making and make choices for them and be like, I'm going to go with this other light being. Because that's not the nature of how the light works. The light is very respectful. The light is like, it's your life. I'll come into your body if you bring me in and I will help you. But I'm not going to like take over.
I might make sure you end up in the same coffee shop as this other guy, but exactly. The rest is up to you.
Yeah.
Free will. There it is.
Yeah. Or like light beings will influence outcomes that are positive for the world between people. Angels facilitate you meeting people and light beings, da 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 da. But a more interesting answer to your question. So there's that part of the answer. But then another part is, you know, you'll hear people talk about being twin flames or soulmates. You know, you've heard that idea. The twin flame kind of concept got really popular in metaphysical worlds in the last bunch of years. It was like, it used to be soulmates everybody talked about. Now everybody's like, twin flame. I have met several people who I look at them and my guides go, that's what twin flames look like. And I go, huh? Because I wanted to, my mind and my ego like to resist things like that and go like, come on, are we all just making up more woo-woo shit to believe in because we need stories or whatever? But when I was taught by a couple different people in a couple different contexts and what I've now seen over and over is that twin flames, really what that is two people or two souls incarnate at exactly the same moment in the heart of God, or you could say through the heart of God, such that they are meant to come together to do what they're here to do. Like the twin flames need each other to make the bigger fire that they're going to make together. Now, what people do with that narrative is they go, well, why haven't I found my twin flame? There's something wrong with me. Do I have to find my twin flame? Where's my twin flame? And then everybody thinks they need a twin flame. What I've been shown and what I got taught was that not everybody's here to have a twin flame. Some people are here to like, I don't know, be a single lady with a cat who builds buildings. Like not everybody's here to have a twin fucking flame. Twin flame thing is like intense and it's for a specific purpose and the souls are meant to be together to work on certain shit in the world. But not everybody's meant to have that.
Yeah.
People love to get all up in arms about it. Where's my, I need my, I'm going to manifest my twin. Well, you don't know. You don't know. Is that your path? Is that what, I mean, really? Maybe you don't, maybe you meet your twin flame, everything goes to shit, and now you have to live in a trailer for 20 years. Is that what you want?
If I'm with my twin flame, then yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that was a long-winded answer to that question. Does that help in any way?
Absolutely.
Cool. Do we want to flip cards, open the records, and I don't even know what question we're going to ask today or what we're addressing, because well, I kind of like the subject we're already on and I want to maybe stuff? Butt stuff and sort of relational energy, I feel like is a good general relational topic. Energy. Well, the energy of, I mean, sex and butt stuff and how we engage with especially sexual slash romantic partners
buttholes.
Or not, but how and their buttholes. How we engage with their buttholes. And I don't know what butt stuff question to ask, but I kind of would like to find one.
Here was my impulse. So I've got these two decks of cards that I like. I could open each of your records separately and do a three card spread. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Cheek spread.
I am.
You should be.
Yeah, we could do a past, present, future read on anything at all, really, for each of you and or for myself. Or we could do that for the podcast, or we could do anything. But I feel like the records want to be open and these cards want to be pulled.
So that is just because I'm, you know, understanding what impulses you're getting, that the records are open and then the cards are an additional conduit. Well, through which the records are speaking.
Yeah, the record keepers are being like, yeah, pull these three cards. Like when I shuffle and I'm in your records, they'll be like, now you stop shuffling. And it's
I just want to say that you made the gesture of shuffling, which looked a lot like male masturbation, male-bodied masturbation.
So I'll be shuffling the cards into my mouth.
and spraying the cards across the table. Oh, a spread. Oh God. Well, yeah, I do feel like, yeah, I'd love it. I think you should open each of our individual records and do a spread and each of us can, I'm just because more for fun's sake, I'm in the vibe of like, I want to know something about my current sexual energy life.
Butt stuff.
Yeah. The question is butt stuff.
Oh, question mark?
Yeah, and then just see what the cards say.
All right, so Cassidy?
Yes. Jamal Brown is my full name.
I am Cassidy. Would you like to be first?
Sure. Let's fucking do it.
Now you're going to prepare your butt stuff question while I'm doing this, right?
Okay.
While I'm opening the records.
I have a version of it that I can kind of,
Okay. Butt stuff. All right, let's take a couple deep breaths. Good thing I'm leading a healing retreat next weekend for people who are worried they're going to get COVID and I'm going to cough all over them for 3 days. I don't have COVID. I've been tested 70 times. I have like some kind of adjusting to Colorado dust allergy, but it's not appealing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Couple breaths into the low belly. Benjamin Cassidy. And I've fucked with your name so many times. It's actually just Cassidy Jamal Brown.
That's it. Those are the only three names.
I was like, there's got to be two more names in there.
There's no Jackson. No. There's no Warner.
Malcolm Percy.
Okay. There's no Malcolm.
All right. So we'll just come into our bodies. Ew, ew, ew. I can't do it. I can't take myself seriously.
We're coming to your body.
I'm just going to start with the prayer because I can't deal with myself. So we do acknowledge the forces of light, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of God, protect me, please, from all forms of self-centeredness. Please direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know Cassidy Jamal Brown in the light of the Akashic Records, to see Cassidy Jamal Brown through the eyes of the Lords of the Records, and enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of Cassidy Jamal Brown have for Cassidy Jamal Brown. I'll tell you what that joke was in a second. Okay, the records are open. So I was laughing because I was aware that the noises I make as I'm dropping into the records are, you could easily put them either in the toilet or in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Great. That's fantastic. All right. So Lords, Masters, and Teachers of the Records of Cassidy, Jamal Brown. I'm just asking that you deepen us both into his records as much as we can travel into the highest frequencies of Cassidy Jamal Brown's Akashic Records. We'd like to learn. We're going to be a little silly today, record keepers. Thank you for your patience and your levity. So I'm just kind of letting myself drop into that a little bit. Vibration. Okay. All right. So is there anything in the way, record keepers, of reading for him? No. Healing for him? No. Ready to go. All right. So we were going to do a 3-card spread about something. Question about butt stuff?
Yeah. Let's see. I really do just want to ask butt stuff question, but what my meaning behind that is, what is my sort of... What is the story right now with my sexual being, with my connection to my sexual self? Is that a good enough question?
Sure. Great. Yeah. So I'm just listening to your record keepers as I shuffle for them to show me. So we're looking for, Cassidy's wondering, like, what's going on with my sexual life? What do I need to know about the past, present, and future, about my relationship to my own sexualness, right?
That's it.
Okay. Not about, like, sex with other people per se, but about my own relationship to my own sexuality.
Yeah. And it, obviously for me, that does include hopefully sex with other people, but it's, it's more about like my personal, how I best am to engage with that.
Okay.
In myself.
How is he best to engage with that, with himself? Okay. That helps. Okay. All right. Let me keep shuffling here. Okay. Okay. Well, this is really on the nose. It's almost annoying. All right. So here's,
okay, bring it.
Here's the spread.
Yeah.
The recent past, coming apart, present moment, cleaning house. Outcome of all these things, peaks of joy.
Jesus.
Do I need to say any words?
I mean, maybe not. Maybe not. I mean, I don't know if there's any specificities. Yeah, go.
I'll read what the book says for each card.
Sure.
And I'll we'll just see if the record keepers have anything to add. And you can ask whatever you want to ask.
Okay.
Coming apart. Now is the time to take separate paths. The coming apart card is a sign to put an end to what is no longer working for you. Has a commitment been broken? Perhaps you need to break a promise or change course because you took on more than you can handle. This is a perfect time to reassess your goals and values. Are your actions in alignment with what you believe in? Have you created a partnership that is not mutually beneficial?
I see your eyes.
Separation, disillusion, and dispersion are all in focus now. If someone wishes to break away from you, don't chase the relationship out of a sense of fear. The price you'll pay will not be worth the prize. Separation brings good fortune.
Yeah. All
right. It's a mystery what that applies to. It's a real big mystery. Present moment.
All I will say about that is that we're asking about the sexual connection and that.
That's right.
And it totally applies. Right.
That's why I'm looking with the silly faces. Just because of that piece. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Okay. Cleaning house. It's time to clear the clutter to make way for better things. This is so like, okay. When you see the cleaning house card in a reading, it's time to declutter your life. Get rid of unwanted things in your physical home. Release what you no longer want or truly need. Is there any, oh boy, hold on a second. We're clearing some energy. Oh my God. Okay, I see what that was. We could talk about it. Is there any unfinished business you should address? Thoughts, memories, and emotional baggage must be swept out of your house as well. Your conscience must be clear for you to move freely in the world. Celebrate a spring cleaning and feel the freedom as you make way for much better things. Look at what you've resisted discarding and be honest about its value. Be honest is the next sentence after be honest of its value. Clean house. All right. That's the present moment. You're in the clean house. You're in get rid of what actually isn't working. Sweeping the thoughts, memories, and emotional baggage out of the house as well. Conscience must be clear to move freely in the world. Spring cleaning, feel the freedom. Look at what you've resisted discarding and be honest about its value. Be honest. Clean house. Outcome. Peaks of joy. Oh my. Your life is filled with happiness, so share it with others. Joy is yours today. No matter what your inquiry, you will be happy with the results. You are coming closer to a sense of achievement and you've worked hard for it. You're surrounded by true companions and events that are synchronistically arranged to bring you to the next level of your life. The world is singing a beautiful harmony. Life is exhilarating and hopeful. Let gratitude fill your heart and remember to share your happiness. Joy is contagious.
Easy to digest, super, like that even addresses the ego nicely, like the ego is satisfied. Yeah. I mean, I don't even think we need to go into conversational detail on that. I feel like that was just boom, good for me. And hopefully that is also somebody else's 10 other people's 10, 50 listeners story as well.
Yeah. Rock on.
Thanks. That was boom. Pew. Okay. What was the energy that you had to clear? There was something.
Nostalgia and the energy of like, but remember when it was, and the false hope thing.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But what about the, remember the, like there's some, like when we touched, the words were something in the thing about memories and cleaning the closet and sweeping the house.
Right.
In there, it's like thoughts, memories, and emotional baggage must be swept out of the house as well.
Yeah.
Your conscience must be clear to move freely in the world. Like there's nothing wrong with you for wanting to be fulfilled in the sexual congress way.
Congress. Yeah. Cool. No, that helps.
All right.
Thanks.
Oh my God. Oh my God. We could do a lot of clearing today for you. I have to like blow my nose. There's so much clearing happening. I'm going to spare you the, I don't know how to spare you.
Yeah, just do it. We'll deal.
All right. I'm going to close and lock your records. Oh my goodness. Oh, I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for their love and compassion. I want to thank the lords of the records for their point of view and the Holy Spirit of light for all knowledge and healing. Please return Cassidy to his complete human wholeness. Please return all of Cassidy's energy to himself. Okay, the divine portal and the records for Cassidy Jamal Brown are now closed. Amen. Divine portal and the Akashic records for Cassidy Jamal Brown are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records for Cassidy Jamal Brown are now closed. Amen. Okay. Groovy, groovy. My, oh my. We should do a full healing session with you sometime. Cassidy Jamal Brown.
Probably should do that.
Just to clear out the cobwebs, just normal stuff.
Brain cleaning.
All right. Desmond Jamal Jackson Brown. None of those names are real.
Well, now you get to enter my dirty records.
Dirty.
I wish, not in that way, unfortunately. But yeah, you think Cassidy needs some clearing, boy. Enter my caves.
Oh boy. That reminds me of...
That's what Katie said.
I can see the pinhole of light in the distance, and I've just been having a really difficult time getting closer to it these days.
That's what he said. I don't mean to make fun of your life. Desmond, what is your middle name?
Paul.
Thank you. I always forget. Okay. McNeese is how you pronounce your last name?
McNeese.
Thank you. Every time I see it in print, I'm like, I don't really fucking know. I don't know. Which one is it? God damn it. Now I know. So we do acknowledge the forces of light. Again, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of God, please protect me, please, 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 from all forms of self-centeredness and direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know Desmond Paul McNeese in the light of the Akashic Records, to see Desmond Paul McNeese through the eyes of the Lords of the Records, and enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, loved ones of Desmond Paul McNeese have for him, Desmond Paul McNeese. I'll just go quiet for a moment. All right. So the records are open. Lords, masters, teachers for Desmond Paul McNeese. I'm asking that you deepen us all, us both into his records as far as we can go. Okay. Is there anything in the way of reading clearly, seeing clearly, healing clearly for him? No. All right. Well, I'm already shuffling for you, but what question do you want to throw out there, if anything?
Well, as I kind of stated going in, I have, you know, a million questions, but I think to stay on brand for this, this episode and something I think that would be helpful. Do I need to love myself less and others more?
Like, no, they're screaming.
Even physically?
No. I don't even know what you're talking about, but they're like, don't even, what? No, it's the opposite of that.
Are you asking, should you masturbate less?
Yes.
Oh, no.
And even
there. I don't know what that was going to be, but that's the big yes. I don't understand what you're asking. What do you mean? Like, what do you mean?
That reads as true, just because I'm there's certainly no neglect going on there.
Okay.
But as we talked about before, life has gotten hectic and crazy, and
I see what you're asking.
Clearing space in the house for a long intimate engagement is harder to do than finding a dark corner late at night to please myself.
Okay, thank you for that info, because I actually now I understand, and then I can have more awareness around what is happening here, that they are saying to, it's something to do with the timing right now, you know, just how life is. It's like, nah.
That reads
okay.
Very true. That's how I read it in my physical body. And I just, you know, wanted some spiritual help to think about it a little bit deeper.
Let me sit with this for 1 second. Is there something else here? Yeah, there's something else here. Well, let's pull cards on this. Okay. It's a great question, because we're talking about the depths of, you know, intimacy between two people. And it's always, you know, it's often complicated what's happening between two people. So we're asking the record keepers, like, what is the past, present, and future information Desmond could use in regard to himself versus Congress? Is this okay? That's interesting. Well, there's a lot of interesting things in this. Okay. The recent past card is the Mountain, which is a card about you can't move a mountain. And it, we'll read it, but it talks about, like, don't try to move a mountain. You could climb up it if you want, but just go slow and know that you're climbing a fucking mountain. So, and then
my favorite, I just have to, sorry, stop you. My favorite quote to say to Kelly, and we kind of say it to each other now, like when we like pick the wrong fight with the kids, it's like, is this the mountain you want to die on?
Yeah.
You know, like, do you really want to die on Wear a Hoodie Mountain, or do you want to let this one go?
That's really good. Wow. That's really good. Present moment. Get ready. Peaks of fucking joy again. But present moment.
Interesting.
I shuffled the hell out of this deck. Present moment.
I know what I like.
My own hand.
I'm good at it.
And then the outcome is the Protecting Treasure card, which really has to do with, I'll read it to you, but it has to do with the energy of it is always like, the nest egg is protected. Don't worry. It's going to be okay. You might feel super vulnerable. And like, if you lay on top of your nest egg, like your money and your golden chest with your little umbrella over your head, like that's going to keep you protected from this huge storm. It's not, because you're already protected. So it's okay. You might feel like this little girl here. It's a picture of a girl curled up in the fetal position on top of a golden chest with a tiny little umbrella over her head. And the card's message is always like, you're okay. It's okay. Don't worry. So let's read what the deck says for each of the cards, just to get a little more in depth here. The Mountain, the recent past, although this all seems like it's pretty clear to you what's happening, Des.
It's frustratingly true. Like, you know, it just shows why I've been having so much trouble making change in my life. Cause it's, you know, I don't move mountains. I'm pleased with myself. And the whole point is to take care of the nest egg.
Aw, that's nice.
I do a good job of that, if I may say so myself.
I believe and, that.
You know, I just need to give myself way more peace in the process. And like I was going to say right when we came on here, I was thinking like, I'm really frustrated at myself, or not frustrated at myself, but what frustrates me the most these days is just constantly having to dig out some calm space for myself, because I do obsess over taking care of the nest egg. I just have to accept that I'm doing a good job at that and continue to dig out some peaceful times for myself, but not to make major changes.
Can I read you what this says?
Yes.
Because you're so on it that I just want to validate it more. So you get, the mountain is clear and the peaks of joy are clear. I'm just going to read this third one. Protecting treasure. You are always divinely protected and directed. Although this is a time of great risk, know that at a fundamental level, you are able to move forward safely and securely. The proverbial nest egg is safe and sound, no matter the fluctuations in the world. Guardian angels and other guides are whispering to you, making you aware of their protective presence. Your loyalty is an important theme now. Nurture that which you hold dear. This is a good time to strengthen bonds of friendship and ensure their integrity. If you feel tested right now, know that a true and loyal heart always achieves its aim. Take refuge under an angel's wing. You are not alone and have no need to fear. Embrace your courage.
Aww. Okay.
No. You're the best.
And the one thing that came up in that, which is perfect, the one thing that I do come back to that I need to strengthen and put effort into is friendships and making sure that I stay connected and with friends and family. And so that gives me one thing to focus on instead of having that be one of a million things I'm trying to focus on.
That's nice.
I'm so happy because I have an easy week coming up. I was even talking to Kelly about it. I'm like, I'm going to be really easy on myself this week because I can be. We don't have a lot of obligations and there's a ton of obligations coming up. And now I can take it easy this week and not spend all of that time trying to figure out what I need to change and just enjoy that peace in between.
Yeah.
Keeping the egg warm.
That's nice. There's a little something here. Okay. So you know how I was in this, I went to this second sort of energy system schooly type thing after Sufi school. And it was the one that I left pretty like, bye-bye, because they were like kind of dicks at the top. Like they were a little dark and not so integrated as people, but they also taught some really cool tools. And I took what I liked and what works for my clients and I left. You know about that a little bit, right?
A little bit.
Okay. I always forget how much I've talked about what, but anyway, so there's a concept there that they talked about that more and more I keep seeing it in reality. And I think they're kind of right on about it, which is that there are, let me listen how they want to talk about it. In the way that the consciousness of the planet is shifting and the consciousness of the humanity of, you know, people on the planet, more and more what is correct for men and women who marry one another is that the woman is out ahead changing the world and the man is home protecting the nest egg. And this sort of like stay-at-home dad, like dad nurturer, they had a language for it. It's like a humanoid man is their language, is going to be a nurturer and is not like a, it's just going to be a nurturer. And it ends up being often that the wife is like out there in the world and he's home and it's appropriate and it's supposed to be that way. And in part, that's because what's happening for the collective is that the men who are available for it are being transmuted into the, you know, they're being more intimately aligned with the divine feminine. So there's a long period of time in which men have to, remember, we're not talking about one individual man in his life. We're talking about men, all the men collectively, and how that shows up in one life. So the collective men have been so far on one side of male behavior that they are swinging way to the other side to create balance in the world. So know that you are so where you are meant to be and that everything you're doing at home and with your work that you're doing, because we acknowledge that as well, is so needed and so necessary and only you can do it. In your family, only you could do this, as you know, I'm sure. And this is the case for so many humanoid men. Humanoid meaning, you know, sensitive, empathic, spiritually connected, at least on some level, and creative. Those types of human men, more and more, they're being pulled into the realm of the domestic and the home and the nurturance. So you're right on track. And it's not black and white. And it doesn't mean you can't go out and do manny stuff and make the things and make the money and do the jobs. You can. And we would ask you and encourage you to just follow what actually feels good. Because you could go, you know, resist this and go do whatever. But like, would that really feel in alignment with your heart's desires?
No. Sorry, I forgot that the audience can't see me nod. I just want to say I'm so looking forward to screaming at the TV for 3 hours during a Seahawk game today. Man!
Yeah! Man it up!
Do it.
I have to go.
Yeah, we got to wrap this up. I just looked at the time and this was amazing and fun and butt stuff. Close the records.
I'd like to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for the love and compassion. The Lords for their point of view, the Holy Spirit for all knowledge and healing. I ask that you send all of Desmond Paul McNeese's energy back to himself. All of Desmond Paul McNeese's energy back to himself, please. Return him to his complete human wholeness now, please. Thank you. The Divine Portal and the Akashic Records for Desmond Paul McNeese are now closed. Amen. Divine Portal and Akashic Records for Desmond Paul McNeese are now closed. Amen. They're now closed. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. Gosh, that one was a... I always have a really distinct feeling when people's energy goes back to themselves and that part of the prayer, that was like very distinct. That was like, pow, different thing, gone, me now. It was cool.
I feel like this is an appropriate time to tell you, Katie, that I have a secondary All the Answers channel where I edit out all of your grunts and moans and put them on Pornhub under ASMR.
Oh, good. Good.
Another secondary income stream. This is good.
Fantastic. As long as it's a stream or a spray, I'm good. Love you. Do your work. What are you asking for? All of the answers? Say what? All of the answers?
Yeah, all the answers. Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod, @allanswerspod. Thank you.
All right, Katie, what's wrong with your new computer?
Okay. I think we should this should all be part of it.
This is it. This is the podcast today is talking about Katie's computer and her cough.
Just technology problems and phlegm and dick jokes and butthole jokes.
That was a Sounds Awesome production.